You know, it's the end of February. She's been in office now 2 months. Glenda Ritz, the Superintendent of Public Instruction. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Amos.
All right. Next week is the first part of March, and it is I-STEP. And you've been there in the classroom, you know, had to deal with I-STEP. Now you're there as state superintendent. First of all, what should parents and grandparents know? And to make sure their kids are prepared and grandkids prepared for I-STEP.
Well, they need to get plenty of rest. Mm-hmm. That's first of all. And then a good breakfast, mm-hmm. To make sure that they're going to be mentally alert. Mm-hmm. But I think probably the schools have been doing what they need to be doing, in terms of making sure students are getting that last minute preparation. But reading is always a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage, parents and grandparents and caregivers to just make sure that their children are keeping up with what they need to be doing as schoolwork, coming home, if they're coming home with some practice pieces, making sure those get done.
Let me ask you on takeover schools. It kind of took people here in Indianapolis by surprise that your office signed off on allowing the mayor of Indianapolis to have operational control over the four takeover schools, Arlington, Manuel Howe, and Emma Donnan. Why'd you make that decision to sign off on them? Because obviously your predecessors set this thing up. You had coming in responsibility over the four schools here and the one school up in Gary. Why'd you make the decision?
Well, I actually believe that local control, mm-hmm. is probably the best way to go with any kind of oversight of schools. Mm-hmm. I don't plan on taking over schools, mm-hmm. under my tenure. Mm-hmm. And so working with the mayor's office, they have a good evaluation system already set up. They've got several successful schools. And so I want to partner with them to have that oversight. And then the State Board of Education still maintains control over what happens to that takeover school.
Mm-hmm. So, and I know during the campaign trail, you heard the tensions between people concerned about takeover schools, concerned about the proliferation of charters, concerned about diluting traditional public education. And I understand, you know, what you just said, but did you take into any consideration that people might say, wait a minute, Glenda's, she's not standing up for us, and it's like she's helping them out to, you know, weaken our traditional public schools?
Actually, I don't view it that way. Okay. And when I get my outreach coordinator teams in place, mm-hmm. You know, Marion County, the center township area here is going to have a good outreach team to actually look at school cultures from really the same viewpoint as sometimes the mayor's doing that to look at the charter schools. Mm-hmm. We need to have that one-to-one school support system at the ground level. I plan to put that in place, and I plan to have some really strong public schools.
The IPS, this is going to be the most watched superintendent search probably for a long time, not just here in Indiana or locally, but across the country. I know there's a bill moving through the legislature that would change the standards for superintendent, but I don't know whether IPS can wait for the legislature to act before they start their search. What is your understanding of the law now? Under current law, can anybody off the street be hired to run a school district in Indiana?
Well, there is a temporary license piece really in place, mm-hmm. That if you want to hire someone that does not have a superintendent's license, it would take State Board of Education approval, mm-hmm. to put in that temporary license for that person. Right. And then they would need to be working on, obviously, a license towards being a superintendent. So that's my understanding of the current law that's in place, which allows for some flexibility. And I am opposed to the bill whereby a superintendent doesn't have to have a superintendent's license.
To get a superintendent's license, what kind of test is that? I know it's not a dry, is that a test where you got to go in and teach a class? Is that a test where you got to learn how you ride on the school bus? What does that test entail?
It actually is coursework. It's not a test.
You got to go to school.
You do. You have to have quite a bit of schooling, so that you know really almost how to run a business in addition to knowing the pedagogy that should be happening in the classrooms. You should be an instructional leader, so that we have great things that are happening right there at the instructional level in the classroom. So that's the whole purpose. Like, you know, some of the argument is, you know, Glenda Rich, she's superintendent of public instruction, and yet she could not go and be a superintendent of a school district.
Mm-hmm.
That is true, and I wouldn't want to be. Mm-hmm. Totally different jobs. Day-to-day operations and functioning with that is totally different training set than what I'm doing dealing with policy. Mm-hmm. at a high level.
239-1310. 239-1310 is after news. Name is, let me go to the phones. And Greg, hi there.
How you doing today, Amos?
Fine.
I want to ask your guest a question. Two mm-hmm. questions, really.
Mm-hmm.
First, I saw in the paper that the Republican Party or something was trying to do something to you or take your power away. And second, what's your opinion about this situation at school number 44?
She may not be familiar with 44. Let me ask to get the second. Let me do the first question first. You know, some of the Republicans were kind of roughing you up. Is that at the halfway point in the legislative session, is there peace in the land for now?
Well, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I think legislators are finding out that I know a great deal about what I'm doing. And so I've been having conversation with people about education. And I think that with the last bill in the House, 1337, that was defeated, I think really people stepped up and said, you know, we need to let her do her job. And we're not going to interfere and add more things and mandates to what she's already doing.
School 44 situation in IPS, 44 has been a neighborhood school. IPS now wants to make that a Montessori. So there's that tension between a neighborhood school and a decision by a school corporation to maybe do something different in the building, but you don't regulate what a school district does with its facilities.
No, I don't. And IPS has done that in different cases because they have other magnet schools.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty similar to what they've already done in many other instances, but it is a local decision.
You guys put the graduation rate data for the class of 2012 on your website, kind of quiet, and it is showing that the news media around the state are lazy because nobody knows anything about it, and they're waiting on the press release. Why was it just kind of put out there and not have the big production of years past with the big press conference and the charts and the graphs and the slides showing this is what our kids did?
Well, I actually can't answer that question because we didn't really even think about having some big production.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to get that information out to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed to also report information to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And we just simply had a date. We got it posted and that's the way it is.
Is that part of your style? In other words, get the job done. I'm not for having big circuses.
Well, it's not any publicity for me. I can tell you that. I'm all about let's get it done. Here's the timeline. Here's what needs to be put out. We are going to be doing a lot of good PR on great things that are happening in our schools around the state of Indiana. So I do plan to do some PR, but it's
right.
going to be probably in a way that's going to really get people's attention, like the literacy program
right.
we're going to do at the start of the summer.
When you looked at the graduation rates, it was just like there was a slight gain overall. African American slipped back a little bit. It kind of looked like it was just that guy, like, blah, yeah, it's there.
Well, I think it is just kind of maintaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to muddy the waters, but if you actually took out the waivers, we're at a 79%. Graduation.
I was
rate.
Going to ask because I did not. I'm lobbying your staff to get the data on waivers. So waivers brings it below 80% for the overall.
Yeah, it's 79.9 percent, and really it's been that way for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
For several years. If you kind of look at the graduation rate, I'm not so concerned with that. What that graduation rate means, as I am with students needing remediation, especially in the area of math. When they leave our K-12 system.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bigger concern to me,
mm-hmm.
That we, even though students may graduate, we have a large group of students who need remediation when they go into a higher education.
Let me go to Ms. B at 239-1310 with Glenda Ritz. Hi there.
Hi, I like that.
Ms. B?
How you doing?
I'm fine. What's up?
I voted for her, Ms. Ritz, and I thought that she would be for the kids, but since she's been in, it's only been for the seem like the teachers and the Republicans, and I'm awful upset with her because she don't seem to be very interested in the black generation. And
what would you want her? What would you have been
I
wanting her
want
to do?
I would want her to just stop giving stuff away like she did with the mayor. She she should fight for us. She's not trying to fight. She's just letting it go, whatever they do. And I don't think it's right if she's going to try to. If Bennett was in there, he did everything he could, he wanted to do. Now she's giving up. And I don't think it's right.
All right, let me let Glenda Ritz respond.
Okay.
I think that comes back to the whole takeover school
sure,
thing.
Sure, and I know that's very controversial. Actually, in everything I do, what happens with the kids in the classroom is my number one concern. I felt that the mayor's office had a very intensive evaluation piece. We're currently working with them, actually. The State Department has not given up control of those schools, and we have complete say in what happens with those schools at the end of a contract. Keep in mind, I didn't sign these contracts. And if I had been in office, I would never have signed those contracts, and we wouldn't have takeover situation now. Also, keep in mind, I don't have my outreach coordinator programs in place yet to provide that bottom-up support. So this seemed to be the best viable option to be sure that we're going to have a good quality evaluation piece put in place for those four schools. And so I plan to keep a really close eye on all of that and will. In terms of working at the State House, I tell everybody, I'm talking about education. I'm really not into the political pieces of it. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, many times, you know, representatives walk into my office and I haven't even looked up to see whether they're Democrat or they're Republican, because I have educational agendas. Mm-hmm. So I am about the kids.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310. Zafir Nuzamis, Glenda Ritz, when you were last with us, I think somebody called and wanted to know, would African Americans be a part of your administration in the Department of Education? You said yes. First of all, are there African Americans on your senior staff at the executive level of the Department of Education?
I have not even fulfilled all of my positions at the executive level, Amos, so that's the first thing you need to know. So I have several open positions, and we are currently advertising. Well, we probably have closed the window. We're getting ready to actually interview people. But I have several African-American staff within my department that I brought on, quality, high-level people that are doing a lot of different high-level task. And so I'm very excited about that. One of them is Joshua Towns, who is serving as the director of all of our IT programs. Mm-hmm. So getting the websites up, getting things wherever they need to be, getting the learning connection going for educators. And so he's quite an asset. So we are currently in the process of interviewing many more people.
Let me go to David right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Superintendent. My name is David. I just wanted to let you know that I work with, I think it's your niece, Tara. She's an RN here in town. And we always talk about some of the things that you plan to do and how passionate you are. And I just want to say that I'm behind you 100%, and I have been working on some things that I think will help. And one of these days, I will try to get them to your office.
Well, that would be great. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Fred at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir.
I have a question for Linda Ritz concerning the takeovers in School 44.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why they were doing the monastery thing and making the change to School 44 was that they were afraid that they might lose the school due to takeover. So my question to Ms. Ritz is, what's her position? Although I know she may cannot speak to particular cases, but what about takeovers in general? What's her policy?
I certainly can. I do not plan to recommend to the State Board of Education at any time that we take over a school.
What keeps the State Board from looking at the performance of schools and unilaterally deciding, we're the State Board of Education, we will take over a school?
Well, hopefully that's not going to happen. I suppose they do have the right to do that. But there are many options when a school is having troubles with academic performance. And so I plan to have those outreach coordinators. Like I said, I plan to be proactive instead of reactive. So we're going to be looking at the entire school culture of schools and working with the communities and getting services to meet the needs of the schools.
Let me go to Citizen Bill Crawford at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Superintendent Ritz. I have a question as it relates to the I-STEP situation. I was in the legislature when I recognize that you have no bearing on this. It was a policy decision made and signed by the governor that we go to a spring I-STEP. But what has been of concern to me since we've done that is that there is no remediation that occurs during the summer break between kids get out of school before they get their ISTEP results, and then they go into the fall. If they fail or if they don't pass math or English language, they've got a deficit that they carry over through the summer months. And then I'm curious as to what kind of remediation occurs in the next semester. And my concern is predicated upon, I don't see how a student coming in with a deficit in math or English language and a teacher that gets that student, and this bleeds over into teacher performance, gets a disproportionate number of students that need remediation. And then whenever teacher performance comes in, they've got a harder task to do. So I'm curious as to whether or not we have, I know this is new, but do we have effective remediation in school? And can a teacher teach back to correct a deficit at the same time they teach forward?
Well, you have touched upon my entire premise of assessment in succinctly. We currently have a pass-fail remediation approach to education. And I want to put in place a growth model assessment so we know where students are performing, and put in an intervention approach so that we're always working with students to have them go where they need to go. And so you just touched right on it. We have been too long in a pass-fail remediation mode. It's very hard to continue that and actually remediate students. Under the previous administration, the budgets were slashed for remediation to begin with. So not only did we have a pass-fail approach and a remediation attempt, but we had no money to go with it either. I plan on putting into my budget, and I've reorganized my budget, I plan to have testing as a total separate line item, and then and I put remediation slash intervention. And I have explained to the Ways and Means Committee that I plan on transforming from a remediation approach to an intervention approach so that students are always moving on their path where they need to go, and we always know their true level of performance.
So would that mean when ISTEP scores come back in late May, it's the ability for the teacher to sit down with the kid and his parent and say, okay, here's where the kid is. This is how we're going to have to plan going forward.
And you know what? That's kind of hard to do because we don't always have that information back in time, and mm-hmm. I'm hoping to get that back because there should be communication with that. Communication regarding the assessment itself has been very lax. You know, it's online now. They don't send home paper copies. There hasn't been communication with parents necessarily, mm-hmm. And there needs to be some dialogue about that. So I'm hoping to actually transform ISTEP from mm-hmm. a pass-fail to growth model measures. Mm-hmm. So we really know where students are, not that they pass or fail the fifth grade exam, but that we know that student's on an eighth grade reading level, or that we know, and we know they're above level.
So instead of a parent seeing the printout that says a 433 and 524, it says they're at eighth grade 8, they're at grade 6.5,
that's
that kind
right.
of thing. Something that makes sense other
correct.
Than a number.
Correct. Something that where we really know what their levels are and we can improve and we know what we're going to put in place to make sure that they're always improving their levels, particular in math. Mm-hmm. In math, we need to know that a student in fifth grade, if they're ready for algebra, they need to be taking algebra. We need to be accelerating students as quickly as we can, but we have to know their true level of performance to be able to provide intervention as needed.
I thought the legislature, there had been bipartisan agreement to change and agreed with you to change the A through F grading system. That's now, it died in both houses in bills, so it's in limbo like Jason?
Well, actually, that was a very interesting process, but what I have gleaned from that, because the bill that actually would rescinded A to F,
right.
and it actually allows me to start putting in growth models and doing mm-hmm. things like that, that passed the Senate Education Committee 11-0.
Right.
The Senate really, you know, bended to the House and said, okay, you've got a bill, we'll just we'll just wait for you to get over. Mm-hmm. However, the House bill didn't pass, which shows you that members of the House who voted in opposition for that did not want more sanctions with the same A to F.
Okay.
So I really sense that there's really great support to redo A to F.
All right. And can get it. They can find a bill they can rattle
on. They sure can.
They can amend 621, amend all that language out, and put a new A through F in there.
They sure
and
can.
That would solve several problems. Glenda Ritz, Superintendent of Public Instruction, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you.